Take care of the people in Phoenicia.
We're ready to call the meeting to order of Public Works on February the 6th. The time is 6 o'clock. Legislator Litt, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, I am looking for a motion for approval of the December 12th minutes.
I'll make that motion, and I wanted to thank the clerks for using my preferred pronouns in case anybody notices unusual pronouns in
I
the
did.
Minutes.
Yes.
Those are my preferred pronouns, which are gender neutral.
Okay.
And the clerks have seen me sign into Zoom that way, I assume, mm-hmm. and used it, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen that, and I had asked. I said, was this a typo? Or very good.
So thank you to Michael and to Chelsea for bringing that forward for me.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any? No? Okay. I'll call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'd like to abstain as I was not on the committee at that time.
All right.
You can still sign.
Okay.
Okay. So moving forward, we have a really heavy agenda. Are you going to be here until the end so I can ask that question? Or, because I have a question about McKinn Street Bridge, and I don't know if it's the will of the committee here, if we should just go through the resolutions first. All right, so I am going to call resolution number 541, amending the 2022-27 2023-28 Capital Improvement Program, ARPA, Water and Sewer Infrastructure.
So moved.
Second.
All right. I have brought this forward. I've spoken to our ISOPA supervisor. I've spoken to the village mayor and the town supervisor of New Paltz, and they are still very interested in additional funding. So I'm not quite ready to pull this. I know we've had discussions about the second round of funding.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a recommendation from you, too. Is that something that we should hold on to see maybe if you don't get any second round funding so there would be additional? And I'm saying this because in their discussions, they are to the point where they're considering in the next couple of years on building moratoriums, at least in the New Paltz area, because they just don't have the infrastructure to continue building.
Okay.
And that's worrisome because that's a real hub.
So in terms of, there was $400,000 left over in the original appropriation of $5 million. You'll see the bulk of the contracts next month. You'll see the first one this month.
Okay.
It'll be the town of Lloyd this month, and then everything else will start to flow next month. ISOPIS, we know, has interest in the program from you.
Mm-hmm.
The city of Kingston is expressing interest if there's availability in the second round. In the original round, per discussion with the county executive and others and with supervisors, it was to exempt them from the first round because they did not pay the extra 1% on the sales tax sharing that the county did.
Okay.
So they were exempted, and there's discussion now as to whether they should continue to be exempted or not. So I wanted to be upfront about that part of it. I don't think we would support towns coming back for multiple projects because
mm-hmm.
some did submit two projects and we had them select one. We thought that that was equitable. We did just push out. I think I can give you data. We're going to get back from people from the towns what their level of interest and what the status of their proposed projects would be. And maybe that's a useful point for you guys to say, at least with the ones that didn't get in the first round funding. Everybody who requested in the first round and had mature projects got funded.
Mm.
So there were no no's handed out unless they were completely like back of the envelope type projects or didn't fit the criteria like in Hardin.
Rochester.
Rochester was too, it was not ready. It's still not ready. Hardinburg asked for bridge money. Wasn't part of the program, right? Like, we were trying to find other ways to accommodate what they were looking to do, though. So everybody who asked for it is getting it. So I'm not sure what else is out there because we're under the existing allocation, and that's what this second round's going to do, and I'm hoping to get the town of Esopus, who may have not have been ready at that time but has a mature project, that'll be accomplished within the time frame. I don't know how many more there are yet.
Yeah.
So I propose we just take no action.
Okay.
And then once I get that data, once I get that information from the towns, I'll make sure Nate and the team shares it directly with you guys so you have it.
Okay.
If we go through the second round and we still have funding available, are you going to allow towns to put in the second
I would actually
project?
One of the thoughts is probably not. Like, I think that we should also start helping municipalities get ready. There's going to be a lot more infrastructure money still to come at the federal level, which will start to flow down through the intended use plan, and there are ways of accessing that money. Part of it is being ready, and I don't think they are. I think that they're, I think, right, Dennis? I mean, some of these projects are probably at their infancy, and they haven't done a map plan and report. They're not at that level to say, I'll even be done in 5 years. And maybe we can help get them further along to address the need.
The thought that we, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
We thought that we had many years ago was that the county could provide essentially the impetus to essentially get people to a project ready stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you don't want, like, people don't like to spend money on plans, but they really help in terms of when you go to the application. The other thing I just want to mention is that this county has 101 thereabouts public water supply systems. A number of those public water supply systems are privately owned. A number of those privately owned water supply systems are extremely small, 40 to 50 customers in all. They have significant They are a ticking time bomb relative to their infrastructure needs. And what ends up happening is that infrastructure can't be supported by those numbers of people that are there because of what's going to have to be charged in order to do their necessary improvements. So if you start to think about this, I know your focus has been on municipal, but I want you to think about the small businesses that you help with ARPA, and think about the small infrastructure owners that may also be able to be helped with ARPA funds.
I just don't want to penalize areas of the county that we know need improvement.
Yeah.
And they've taken it upon themselves to go out and do exactly what you're saying.
To be ready.
And because they're ahead of the game, because they spent money up front, we're going to penalize them, even though they might be project ready in an extremely important corridor.
So I think I could point to the town of Rosendale, the town of Lloyd had two projects that they could have
put forward. And
they
have two more.
I'm sure they do. Mm. So I get it. I just, there's probably 4 to 6 million in ARPA funds left overall out of the $34.5 million, and we could have spent $34.5 million on water and sewer in the county.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
I agree.
It's what are like? Does Lloyd just get another $500,000? Does Rosendale, and then that's it, and that's the additional appropriation?
Well,
like there's.
Right. You said the first round, everyone got what. There were no no's.
But we only had, we appropriated $5 million. There's only $400,000 left.
Okay.
So if we're staying within the existing appropriation,
mm-hmm.
we're not even going to be able to max out one project because that's $500,000. That was the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll spend all the money.
If the town of Esopus and others come back with $400,000 in projects, we will,
mm-hmm.
of course. We'll try and do that.
I want to spend all the money.
same.
You don't get it very often, and I don't want to leave anything on the table.
Agreed. And that's why we figured going out for another round to see if somebody missed on the first time, weren't ready, didn't understand it. Supervisor Freer was new to the office, right? So can we reach back out and see if we can attract those? Okay. If not, then we'll report directly back to you guys and let you know.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we'll take no action on this. The next resolution, number 553 of 2022, establishing a policy to require public notification of changes to Ulster County area transit bus routes and schedules. Motion for discussion. Legislator Erner, second.
Second.
Legislator Nolan. Legislator Erner, this is, you're sponsoring this?
Yes, and I see Deputy Kelly wants to speak.
I can give you an update. So we have a draft scope for an RFP for the routing and scheduling. We also did share, we have the policy. I don't know if you wanted to meet on that directly to go through that. Is it still an existing, let me back up. The website, the app, and the way things are currently communicated are still not, they're still very much substandard. That's putting it gently. Mm. I'm about to transition this part of my portfolio to somebody 2 feet down to me, but I'm not going to abandon her. It needs to be prioritized in a way that fixes the problem, because scouting and routing and scheduling is going to take months, you know, to overhaul the system. So I think we have to develop a plan to do both.
Could I, if I may, what you had sent us was very good operationally. I mean, it had three or four different ways. If somebody's on the bus, if there's an issue comes up, you know, that they can do it in writing, or they can tell a bus driver as long as he's not being distracted, and, you know, et cetera. But I think this was more, you know, in lieu of what had happened, and certainly I think it was written tight enough, so if it's unexpected, if you all of a sudden have 8 bus drivers call out sick, that we wouldn't expect you to put in 30 days notice. But we would like to see if there are changes, if you're going to reroute, the yellow, the mall bus?
Yeah.
Because now the seniors are going to have service until 10 o'clock at night. That'll be significant enough of a change.
Okay.
That there should be 30 days notice on that.
Okay.
There was only 2, and those are significant changes, 2 weeks. So...
I have a question.
That's on 25% of your route.
If we have a policy that asks for the month notice, will we be discouraging changes that could take place that would be beneficial that could take place in 2 weeks? It seems a little bit long to me for the notice for people to adapt. It's a balancing act, and I guess the riders would be the ones to tell us, but if there could be a beneficial route change in 2 weeks, I would like it better. But anyway,
we can make it less, but we thought we would give, you know, everybody more notice. But just the fact there should be notice if there's going to be a permanent change. And yes, Article 6 said it is 25%.
25% change to the routes would require a 30-day notice.
Oh, okay.
So for FDA rules,
we just
right?
To
it's
make
25%
it
of...
Yeah, and I think
so
this
significant change,
discontinuation of service, I think is maybe in there as well. I'm not sure.
I think to Legislator Nolan's point, I think 30 days is still fair and forces us to be more, I think, thoughtful about the changes we're making and making sure that we are communicating those well. I mean, the issue is when we're talking about changing anything on the mall loop, it's not a thing that's just come up in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So giving 30 days notice should still be something that we should strive to meet, I think.
So would it be a problem for any of the folks in the executive's office for us to go ahead and move forward on establishing this policy? Are we going to put you in non-compliance while you're already putting diligent work on this? Would you rather that we wait until we're closer to being able to implement it?
I'd like to educate my future counterpart here and get her on board with the discussions with Legislator Erner and Legislator Chair Petit here, in order to make sure that, yes, I would request that.
No action.
I'm okay with that.
Are you all right with that? Okay.
Sound okay, man?
Because I'd be good with moving it forward,
thank you,
too. Okay, resolution number 34 of this year. 2023-28 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project number 334, Kingston Rail Trail to provide construction, amending the 2023 budget. Motion to discuss.
Second.
A whole bunch of these.
So this is the one that did pass out of economic development and all the other things?
No.
This one I thought was the one that was the discharge.
Wasn't Errol?
That was 36 that was failed.
Yeah. So this one, there were two.
This is the change in the capital project.
Yeah. Right.
This passed.
Right. So I second.
Sorry, I need your.
Just to clarify, so I've seconded, so we can discuss.
Yes.
So there were two resolutions dealing with the Kingston Rail Trail project in economic development last week, resolution 34, which we have in front of us, and resolution 36. This resolution passed out of committee to change the capital project to incorporate this project and its PIN number, and the resolution to fund the project and accept funding from the Transportation Alternatives Program?
Yeah.
TAP program failed, but then it was successfully discharged. So I think we should vote to approve this project. It's been a project over a decade in the making, and it connects Kingston to the Hurley Rail Trail, or the O&W Rail Trail in Hurley, as probably more properly called. And is really a good and important project. The reason for it not to pass out of committee was that one of the few legislators that were there that evening did not want to fund a project that had paving. But this section would connect a paved area with another paved area, and it's an area that has heavy equipment that has to go over it. So those concerns have been discussed with that legislator who was objecting, and I think that this committee should pass it out. I'm not sure we'll have the support of that legislator at the when it comes to the floor, but he did express the willingness to get it discharged from committee, sign the petition to discharge.
And this is all pass-through funding from?
No, the increase in funding here is about $600,000 of it is county money. At one point in time, it was entirely funded through the TAP program and through state dedicated funds. The bids came in over $600,000 over the funding available. That's just where we're at. So you've committed to first instance funding. But now you have a bid that's $600,000 over that, so that's where you're at. You've already basically made that commitment. Now you're making a commitment to actually fund the construction.
This is years of delay that was unavoidable. Sorry.
I'd rather redirect that to another program. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So being new to this committee, I'm going to have questions that probably others won't understand, having done it for a year or professionally for that matter, but I was reading on some of the items that were found to be more than 25% greater than the engineer's estimate, like a bench, for example. I don't remember the exact price, but it seemed like a really high price for a bench. Do we know why a bench costs what it costs? I'll find the number.
I can't answer that question. What I can say is that, I'm sorry, Chair.
No, I'm thinking it's like the $25,000 toilet seat. Thank you for picking up on that.
What I can say is that we had, I think, seven or eight bidders, and they were all within a couple $100,000 of each other. The difference between the low bid and the high and the next lowest bid was $1,000. So I mean, you had a robust bidding field, So we can have all the discussions you want about what X cost versus Y cost, but you literally had a number of bidders that were all right. They were all clumped in right around $3 million and change.
And I would say that the benches on the Ashokan Rail Trail, which I don't know if they're exactly the same, have lasted all this time, are bolted in, are really solid and sturdy, and so it may be that to obtain the kind of bench that will have that wearability that you do get into higher prices. And I would just say that all of this bid would have been different if we hadn't had trouble over right-of-way that delayed this project. I'm sure if we had bid this 10 years ago, the numbers would be far, far different.
Okay. Legislator Erner?
Thanks. I see there's going to be trees planted and herbaceous plants. Any sense of what we're going to be looking at there?
Yeah, they're all native species.
Okay.
And the tree removal is minimal. The tree removal here is, I think, 27 trees, smaller trees, and we have to pay a mitigation fee. The federal government requires us to pay a mitigation fee for when we remove trees. So that mitigation fee is about $980.
Okay.
Yeah, all set.
What does it mean in this from purchasing, that is there an engineer's estimate for the project? There's no engineer's estimate provided.
Right, we did have an engineer's estimate, and that's what we based the federal funding request and the state funding request on. And that engineer's estimate was last done in September. And when we updated something called the Transportation Improvement Program, we added $600,000 and change to the project, and it came in $600,000 and change above the $600,000 we added.
Mm-hmm. Times two.
Times two, yeah.
Okay. No other questions? I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm opposed. And any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 41, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $20,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with County Waste and Recycling Incorporated. Motion for discussion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Yes.
I'd like to, after we finish discussion on this resolution, go back to Resolution 34 for a moment, if we could.
Okay. Legislator Erner?
Thank you. So, why don't we have an in-house trash service for Ulster County? Why are we doing this with county waste?
Why don't we have a trash agency?
Oh, we got like a public works with our own trucks.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't know of any county that operates that one.
New York City does.
Yeah. It's never been a policy question I've been asked to explore. I guess that's a succinct way of putting it.
Very costly.
Yeah. We have the UCCA, which is a public authority. It's a creation of the county. Mm-hmm. It's a component union of the county.
But they don't have Packer trucks anymore. Yeah, we did it back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I just don't know if it's ever been like fully explored or not. Yeah.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Legislator Nolan, you'd like to go back to Resolution Number 34?
It's okay.
Okay. All right.
My question got resolved.
Okay. Thank you. Resolution number 42, approving the execution of a contract for $400,000, entered into by the county with Repco Inc. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Erner, second. Nolan?
Second.
Thank you. Any questions on this one? And this, of course, is the retrofitting
It's a deep energy retrofit, somewhere between 14 and 15 houses associated with this. And it also comes with a pilot. It's a pilot program. It comes with a jobs training program, which you funded separately through CLP, Communities for Local Power. And we got to RUPCO. The question was asked, I think, how we got to RUPCO. RUPCO was doing the work under the Community Development Block Grant Funding, doing housing rehab. So the thought would be is we actually would use that to combine, and they are a designated subrecipient under CDBG.
Any idea how many people they'd be training?
I think when we last talked to Citizens for Local Power, they were talking about 8 to 12, and right. They may do a second round. But this sets us up, I think, for continuing that kind of continuing work. And I would note that we just did some work with RICOR in terms of some of the existing work that we're doing on housing rehab right now. We just signed off on it. I think it's something in a $18,000 to $20,000 range on a split a mini split system for a house, rather than replace the boiler.
I brought this up before, but I think we should somehow link that training with BOCES.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, and Matt has brought it up. We've talked to BOCES about it. Matt has brought it up as well, and so we're trying to do is a kickoff meeting to bring all the parties together.
Okay.
So that we can decide how that would work. If the training is not in the field with respect to BOCES, it may be on the administrative end. In a conversation with RUPCO, they may be more comfortable with the administrative end, because the contractors working in the field, the students working with contractors in the field may be an issue. And that's a discussion we had with Citizens Communities for Local Power as well.
Very good. Good question. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 43, approving the execution of a contract for $136,666 entered into by the county with Labella Associates DPC. Motion. Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion?
Legislator Erner.
Hello. Okay, Legislator Erner.
Oh, two things. There's a parcel block A, C, and D. Where'd B go?
That's a good question. the RFP was put out with the four blocks, A, B, C, and D, of a total of 22 parcels. The RFP was an invitational RFP. It went out to a list of qualified vendors that we had already qualified through in the last FMQ. Labella was the low bidder on three of the blocks. The remaining block, the low bidder was Gordon Legutis Engineering. Because block B was mainly smaller residential properties, the total estimated fee for that is approximately $32,000. So there's a separate contract for Labella that is mirroring this scope of work. However, since it's not in excess of $50,000, it is not included today.
Good answer.
So there is a fee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And these are... So it's similar to what we did before, where they're on the auction and we're looking at them to see if they have a value for the county.
So even before that, these are foreclosure eligible properties. So these are properties for which the county has not completed.
We don't have ownership. Okay.
So we are.
We don't want an old brownfield.
We are going through a process of investigating them through the county. Goes in front of the court. Gets what's called a temporary incidence of ownership in order to go on the property to do testing, and we'll be able to do that and hopefully allay many of the concerns, perceived concerns about these sites.
Okay.
then.
Legislator Erner.
Does that mean we would recover any costs associated right now from a future owner?
It does not necessarily. As these parcels are foreclosure eligible, those back taxes are kind of accruing to the county. The purpose here is to kind of investigate those issues, and as I said, hopefully they are minor or really just perceived issues, and that would allow us to foreclose on it and then find, suggest a productive reuse, whether that's through auction or for some other purpose. There's not a specific plan to, put a lien, because we're really the only owner. So there's already a lien on the property and no one's there to pay it. So
this basically gets us off of a static point and allows us to make decisions.
Yes. And the only thing that I would add is that there have been similar situations where there have been additional questions after our initial phase 1, phase 2 work. And in that case, New York State DEC was able to do some investigation on the site, and they used New York State Comptroller's oil spill fund money. So there are ways, once we have some information, to leverage other groups to come in and hopefully either do investigation or some site work.
Thank you.
All right, I will call the vote on number 43. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 44, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Lloyd as an ARPA SLFRF subrecipient to the partially funded replacement of a municipal water storage tank. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Thank you. This is exciting. Any discussion?
I would like to be added as a sponsor.
Nice. Yes, I would too. Yeah. Thank you.
May I ask, Legislator, is this the only tank that the town has that you know of?
No.
Okay.
This is the one adjacent to the water treatment plant. A number of years ago, there was a contamination by IBM's effluent that was put on a private piece of property, and on that end of town there is also a tank that feeds that section of town for those people that had contaminated wells. But this is the large tank down by the water treatment plant.
Thank you.
So to my knowledge, there's only two.
Okay, if there's no other questions, we'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 52, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to amend an agreement with the New York State Unified Court System Department of Public Works. Motion for this.
Second.
Thank you. Any questions? This is a reimbursement for cleaning, maintenance, and furnishing of the Ulster County Courthouse. Sounds good.
Gotta do it.
All right, if there's no other discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 53, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with the Ulster County Board of Cooperative Educational Services for classroom space at 521 Voices Lane. Motion for discussion? Thank you. Any questions on this one? No, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 54, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a memorandum of understanding and a government entity lease disclosure sheet with the State of New York, allowing the New York State Department of Labor to utilize space on Voices Lane. Motion?
Second.
Any discussion on this? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay, we did that one. Resolution number 55, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county with Callinan Industries, Inc.
Move.
Move. Second. Any discussion on this?
Legislator Erner.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So here's the next question. My general ignorance, do we have the capacity to pave roads in-house or do anything like this in-house?
Yes. We pave miles and miles of roads every year. These following resolutions, basically 55 through 63, are all, we say, tools in our pocket. They are all as-needed services for outside vendors. Different types of treatment on our roads.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes.
Do you also have the equipment to be able to do the resurfacing in place that some of these resolutions? No. So.
No. The cost of the machines is astronomical, and the maintenance and the upkeep of those machines.
Any expertise?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for the county to own that.
So that's the reason that we would go out.
Sure.
Are these resolutions sufficiently similar for us to block them?
Yeah, we probably should.
I mean,
so should we approve this one and then block the rest? Since
sure.
We've already...
Mm.
Okay. All right. So if there's no other discussion, I'll take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Make a motion that we block resolutions 56 to 63.
Second.
Motion call the vote on the motion to block. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Okay. Any questions on any of the resolutions before we call the vote? Legislator Erner.
So, Legislator Nolan had just mentioned the in-place recycling. Can you just briefly tell us what that's for?
Sure. So what? There's a big machine, basically, that grinds up blacktop or the roadway, goes back into the back of the machine, gets mixed with new asphalt, and then put right back down. So it's all in one big process. The machine that grinds up, there's heaters that heat up the blacktop, grinds it all up, adds emulsifier or more asphalt, and then puts it right back down and repaves it. So you're recycling the blacktop.
It's my understanding that because it is recycling, that we have a great reduction in the amount of petroleum product that we would need to bring in and use. So it's truly recycling and reducing.
Yep.
It more reduces the amount of aggregate, virgin aggregate that you need.
Aggregate being stone,
sand, fillers. You still have to add a certain amount of emulsified asphalt to it to rejuvenate it, a lot less than it would be for virgin asphalt, but the biggest savings is in the aggregate.
Thank you.
And then...
Yes, Legislator Erner.
There's Resolution 60 is about generators and such, so is this... Does this represent all the properties that the county has generators at?
Well, I think there was one
this
they
bunched
were
into the...
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
We should have pulled that one out.
We probably should have.
Which one is it?
60.
Can I amend my motion to
absolutely
block 56 to 59 and 61 to 63?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sorry about that.
So let's
sorry,
leave
sorry.
That
we're
question until the next one.
We're pulling 60
yep.
out
okay.
because it's, yeah. Okay. So any other questions about asphalt? Okay. Hearing none, we'll call the vote on the block. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. So we will move back. So we did, that was 56. Through 63, with the exception of 60, that was the block. So we're going to go back to Resolution 60, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $32,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Peak Power Systems. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. All right, so your question.
Oh, it was just that, are those all the county facilities that have these generators?
Yes, there are approximately 28.
Is that for maintenance?
Maintenance and emergency repairs. Preventative maintenance.
Thank you.
I thought I read it as an add-on, a new building.
Well, yes, that's why we're amending it. We're adding on the generator at 368 Broadway.
Okay.
The facilities.
For the crisis stabilization center.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to hear that. That's, I would love an update on that next month. Heads up. Okay. Okay. So if there's no other discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Would you be able to stay, or because I did have some questions about one of our bridges, if that is okay with the committee. And I can ask now, and then we can let Public Works go, because I don't think there's any other...
You only have a few more to go.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so we will move forward with resolution number 64, supporting a grant application to New York State Department of Transportation to apply and accept and administer public transportation accelerated transit capital grant funding and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept the funding. This is for UCAT. Motion for discussion.
I move it.
Thank you. Second. Is that Dennis?
I can answer it.
Thank you.
Tony's here too. Can't hope Tony's here. She snuck in.
Thank you. Would you like to, Director Roser?
Answer?
Yes, thank you.
So our ATC, our Accelerated Transit Capital Grant Funding, comes from New York State. That funding is given to us every year. Every year the amount is a little different. It comes at 100% funding from the state at no cost to the county or local.
Thank you. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. In part C, what are the ADPs? It seems like it has to do something with maintenance or repair.
So our the maintenance department, all of the mechanics that work on the buses, we now have the electric buses, and we're upgrading their, they're going to get, they're actually called tough books. They're going to get all of those Toughbook laptops so that they'll each individually be able to maintenance each bus, run diagnostics, and if there is a bus that breaks down on the road, they'll be able to take those out on a call, and they just need that upgraded software and technology so that they can manage everything. Their old laptops are basically antiquated or outdated.
So the ADP is the name for this new Toughbook?
It's automated data processing equipment. So we put it in like that.
To give you
right,
flexibility.
You have to follow some scopes whenever you outline your grant application.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 66, supporting a grant application
65.
Oh, I crossed it out too soon. I'm sorry. Okay. Resolution number 65, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Department of Transportation to accept New York State funds for Ulster and Dutchess County Public Transit Service Link.
So moved.
I'm happy to second.
Okay. Joint grant application with the two counties?
Thank you.
Dennis?
Yeah.
I'll try to be nice.
Director Roser? Okay.
It's okay. I think Dennis took care of most of that negotiating.
Yeah.
Yes, we get funds from the TMA.
Transportation Administration.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because we do services that we provide services at this time, so they give us some of the TMA funds.
Okay. Oh, very good.
Is the MTA link?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Legislator Erner.
Thanks. Let's see, Schedule B, page 6 and 9, I see the method and basis for compensation. I see Farebox revenue and STOA, and that referring, thinking back to our free fare measure, is that, and I see the STOA is about 3 times the Farebox. Is that matching what we use to make that policy?
Riders and rider miles, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so that $60K... or whatever it would be is now, that's the county's paying that part, basically, to fill that gap. Okay. Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none? Yes. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. On the next page, if the connecting services seems to need to be updated, is there a plan to do that? It mentions Dutchess Loop Bus, which I know is now Dutchess Public Transit, City Poughkeepsie Bus, which has been combined with Dutchess, and the City Bus of Kingston, which doesn't exist anymore.
Dutchess doesn't call it Loop anymore?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they took it over.
Took it back over.
Yeah, they took it back over.
Privatization.
The short answer is yes, but the longer answer is that I don't think it matters much in the contract. And we do try to schedule, the schedules do try to combine with the trains and the loop.
One more question.
Yes.
Just above that on the same page, talking about marketing plan and strategy, does whoever wants to answer, does UCAT market this bus particularly differently from, or the UPL and the KPL, I should say, those two buses compared with the other buses in UCAT?
It's not really marketed differently, just by the name of a Kingston Poughkeepsie Link, Ulster Poughkeepsie Link. We run the KPL as an express from Kingston to Poughkeepsie, and then we start picking up at the train station in Kameda. So it's not really, in the past they haven't done much marketing on that.
I've seen billboards for...
Yeah, MTA did a lot of marketing. In the past.
Yeah. MTA was doing
yeah.
it?
Yeah. They were actually paying for it. Oh. Point in time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I did have one more question, and thank you for those answers. It mentions park and rides on page, also on the Schedule B, and the Highland Park and Ride, that's DOT, I think, right? State DOT?
Mm-hmm.
But are there county park and rides that we use on these routes?
Parking ride I know we've supported is the one near the traffic circle,
traffic circle,
right?
And the Rosendale, there's a Rosendale.
Yeah. Rosendale at the bus
mm-hmm.
depot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the county does not own any park and ride facilities. The County Transportation Council provides funding, and NYSDOT provides funding for those facilities. The one in Rosendale is controlled by the town. The town holds a lease with the private property owner. And you have one at Thruway Authority. You also have one on. Do you have both on the bridge? Both of the bridges. There's a small one across the Kingston-Rhinecliff
mm-hmm.
Bridge, and then you have the one at the traffic circle here. And I forgot one in Saugerties as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right. If there's no other discussion, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We're up to 66.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, resolution number 66, supporting a grant application to the New York State Department of Transportation to apply, accept, and administer public transportation modernization and enhancement funding for bus and bus facilities capital investment program, and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements. Motion to discuss.
Move it.
Second.
Any questions? Nice amount of money. It's almost $1 million.
And that is also 100% funded. There's no local match required.
We need more of that. Any other questions on this one? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. So we got through. That wasn't so bad, getting through all 23 resolutions in 45 minutes.
We'll be right back.
Okay. is it already asked a question about McKinstry Bridge?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So the bridge project in Gardner has been about 3 years, and one of the several of the businesses have had concerns about how it's impacting them. So the question was, when will it be finished? And I know that's a loaded question. And then also, what are the steps they need to go through to put up signage? And I think my first reaction to that is, well, we'd also have to find out how big. I mean, I guess there's like yard signs, but they're looking at purchasing themselves. And then what would they need to get permission to put those up?
So the winery reached out to us as well. We are looking into it, providing them signs. There are already detour signs posted that have been there since the whole entire bridge project started. If they want something bigger, they did reach out to us, so we're looking into it. I don't have an answer tonight to let you know about that, but I can get back to you about that.
Thank you.
Completion, one lane is supposed to be open by April.
Oh, good.
Of that bridge. We have winter shutdown. We contemplated pouring concrete during the winter, but the price to do that was astronomical, so we decided not to call.
We don't need any more resolutions to amend that one.
Yeah. Although they probably could afford with the weather.
With the weather we've had, yeah, I know, that's always.
Yeah, 8 below 0.
Yeah. Well,
that's our curious
only for that would have been after the after
Murphy's Law.
Exactly.
So April, I say, first couple weeks in April, we should have one lane open.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So from that, we'll go into any new business. No. Yes.
Yes. I'd like to propose two topics for new business. The first one, having spent time visiting the committee last year and working with various departments around transportation issues particularly, I would like to know this committee's opinion about the idea either to establish a subcommittee or to have a special meeting, ideally within the next month, for all departments. We would invite the departments to come and coordinate around communicating transportation needs, or especially those who currently depend on public transportation to get around. So the departments I'm thinking of, obviously, Department of Public Transportation, which runs that, but also social services, veterans, aging, and thank you, Commissioner Iposi, for joining us this evening. The Public Works would love to be a part of that, and I'm not naming all of the departments that do transportation once in a while for the people of Ulster County, but the idea would be at least for those departments that do something like that to come together, talk with us about how we can support with money, legislation, and that coordination. Mm-hmm. So that's.
So we'd have a better understanding of their needs, and then also with UCAT, also the challenges, you know, as we expand. Yeah. So what is the will of the committee? Now, if we do a subcommittee, there will be challenges as far as quorums go. And Clerk Fabella has offered to find out, you know, if other members of Public Works would like to stay on, is that still considered a quorum, or if they become part of the audience, if that would matter. So Legislator Blitz.
I would suggest that we formulate a committee much like the track committee or the trail committee, whereby they vet the issues and then they report out to, it would be this committee. I think that would be the most expeditious.
So an advisory committee?
Exhibition.
So rather than a subcommittee, it would be an advisory committee?
Probably going to hire it.
Yeah.
And I was going to make the suggestion that we consider making it a working group rather than a subcommittee. I think a working group, we might not have those quorum issues.
Yeah.
But my understanding of the quorum is that if we are meeting as a subcommittee, and that is a notice, publicly noticed meeting and open to the public, that we can have a quorum and That's not a problem. Having a quorum just triggers public notification, open meetings law. And I think it would be a meeting. But I think it would be good to describe it as an advisory committee so that the recommendations of that committee come back to this committee for further discussion and implementation if desired.
So, I'm sorry.
I was just going to suggest, if you guys want, I can take back to these departments and have them to start at least working on something, at least a preview of the work that they're already doing on it or what they are currently providing, and then they can at least come to some meeting, however you guys decide, to at least give you that piece.
Mm-hmm.
I would also include planning because they're part of all of this.
Certainly.
And I think that's a good start. And I think the departments you named, the only ones I would potentially add would be maybe youth, because they do potentially have some transportation needs that are maybe unmet needs.
Yes.
And then I can talk to Joanna about just other, I don't think health or mental health were really in the transportation space, because we're managing more contracts. Mental health is?
Yeah, mental health is, yeah.
So we'll get Tara into.
So would the idea from that be that we would maybe have, invite all those departments to our next full meeting,
mm-hmm.
have the discussion and form a subcommittee potentially following that?
I think we were thinking of doing it during the day as either a subcommittee or a working group. I like the idea of a working group because it's very kind of organic and just, you know, anybody can come in. But I think some of the concerns that have been raised about that the meetings get very long. The subcommittee would tighten that up a little bit and we'd have an agenda. But I did talk to the clerk as well, and she would be publicly noticing this. There's an audio which would get posted, and we're considering that for other working groups like the Recycling Oversight Committee. There's a zero waste implementation, because really those are public. There should be transparency in their public meetings. There's a challenge getting them onto our website, which I think is an IT thing.
Your website's managed differently than the rest of the county's website.
Yeah.
You guys use Granicus, which we're moving towards.
Oh, okay.
Jay is the guru. She's not going to be.
So I'm open for anything. I mean, if it's a subcommittee, we could call it the Transportation Advisory Committee. I mean, there's no...
Issue,
or you have
issue,
that.
The issue with the
subcommittee... Next door, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
Isn't that next door? What's the committee that's meeting next door?
Traffic Safety.
Okay. All right.
I'd much rather have it as a separate committee. You make it a subcommittee, then there's issues and there's requirements, and if there's more than certain amount of people there, and I just much rather have it a working group.
A working group or a separate committee? So separate committee, we'd have
separate
to write
committee.
A resolution, and that would need a full approval of the legislature, I believe. With appointments by the chair, and majority and minority, it gets sticky.
Well, I guess the question would be, do we need to take an action tonight? I think that if we want to write a resolution to form a separate committee, we would do that before the resolution deadline. And if that doesn't move forward, then I think we could pull together a working group at the next meeting where we have department heads. If there's a desire to have a meeting before then I think we need to take action tonight. And there would be a benefit to that in that start the work. But I'm not sure we're clear on what the best configuration is for the work.
I mean, I'm happy to go to the departments. I'm listing them out, and yes, I'm texting Joanna as we're working. but I think what we can provide from the exec's office and from the different departments is just an overview in the same format and submit it to the committee. So, and then if you want them back to answer questions, it's not going to be a lost month. We can put them to work at least giving you what's in existence and potentially to Legislator Erner's point, like, if there's a desire for more, or are there unmet needs that they already are aware of, put that in there as well. Is that, and then we're not going to lose time here while you guys work out
I
your
like
internal
this,
legislative.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Then they can also give us helpful ideas.
Yeah, for
yeah, because they are the stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
Of course, the other part of that is all of the public, but yeah. Yes?
The Transportation Council has to update something called a Human Services Coordinating Transportation Plan. So that's in our Unified Planning Work Program for this year. We'll be doing that work, and we do it through stakeholder meetings. So we'll start that work. So we may be sort of going through two different, the same sort of information with respect to that, but that's a federal requirement that we have to make. And for that, there's what they call 5310 money, which comes out to those folks that essentially are elderly or disabled, and then we program money on the basis of that report. And so you'll see funding that was provided for buses for RUPCO, buses for ARC, buses for Access. It's not a lot of money given the cost of buses, but it is money. We also provided money, I believe, at one point in time, we provided money for the RSVP program, for the veterans program, and for the Office of Aging. We actually provided money for those buses so that they could buy those buses. So that's it's important for us. If you're going to do this, it's important to understand how it feeds back into some of the stuff that we do, because if it's not in the plan, we can't fund it.
And when is that? When is the public comment on that?
We haven't even started.
You haven't started. Good.
We haven't even started. You know, that you know that will be by next April. We have to complete it.
Okay. So we have several different ideas. Yeah. So I guess we're not going to take any action on this thing.
Just ask the executive office to follow through on what they're offering.
More feedback.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll hear it in old business next month, then, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
So then under new business, do you want to take over transportation, and we'll invite the director of DSS to sit at the table, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to sneak out.
Thank you.
Take care, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Take care, guys.
Director Iaposi? Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. So on our agenda, one of the first bullet points is discussion of creating additional loop buses using the new PULSE model, but it's to support emergency low-income and senior housing. And then Legislator Erner had invited you to come in. Do you have specific questions, Legislator Erner?
I really don't.
Just looking for input.
If you have anything to share based on your observation of the need right now, love to hear about it.
Sure. Legislature Erner and I have occasionally had conversations, and most of the time they take place in connection with specific clients who are experiencing transportation needs. So I think my invitation to join the meeting tonight sort of has its origins in those conversations, and based on what we've talked about and the different resources that the Department of Social Services utilizes to support our clients who have transportation needs, we just started brainstorming around potential opportunities to potentially maybe revisit some of the existing routes, expand some of the routes, and we also talked about outreach with regard to identifying specific needs. And just as an example of that, one of the motels that the department utilizes in connection with emergency housing placements is the Roadway. And if you're not familiar with where the Roadway is located, it's off of Forest Hill Drive in the town of Ulster, and it's not currently on an existing bus route. And one of the goals that we always have with regard to motels that we use is to have them on an existing bus route. And over the course of last year, we saw that our usage of the Roadway was starting to increase. And as a result of that, I did contact Director Johnson at the time, and we had some preliminary conversations about whether or not the route that currently went by the intersection of Forest Hill Drive and Route 28, where mm-hmm. there's a traffic light,
mm-hmm.
I think you're all sort of familiar with that,
yeah.
and you know, for some people that would be utilizing UCAT and going to and from the roadway, walking up that hill can be challenging, depending upon their circumstances. Do they have luggage? Do they have children? Is the weather inclement? So there's a variety of issues, and not necessarily all of our clients require transportation. Some have their own transportation. We're able to provide transportation through the DSS fleet. We can arrange for cabs, but some of our clients like to utilize UCAT, and since it is an available resource, and in my conversations with Director Johnson, he indicated to me they were in the process of implementing a lot of modifications to their routes and their schedules, and that, you know, we would stay in touch and revisit doing that. And then there were some changes over at UCAT, so it was at the end of the year that I reestablished contact with Acting Director Roser, and we're looking at still getting that in place. And we're sort of approaching it in a manner where I'm obviously deferring to the expertise of UCAT
mm.
to determine its feasibility, how it should be implemented, and we're trying to come up with a way that it would potentially be upon request. Because if you have a bus going through there and there's no one that's going to get picked up or dropped off at the roadway, it doesn't necessarily make sense to go up the hill, turn around at the roadway, and come down. So Legislature and Erner and I were just talking about what kind of modern mechanisms can we implement that, you know, make it clear to the riders that that's an available option, that we can help to educate and inform our clients who are being placed there. This is an option. You know, upon request, you can indicate that you need to be dropped off there. And then, you know, as we're currently looking to expand the motels that we use, if we do begin to utilize motels that might not be on existing bus routes, making sure that we have that same kind of arrangement in place. And just across the spectrum of our client population, you know, can we do better at arriving at being informed about their needs? Can we disseminate a survey? Can we identify some gaps? If we're going to look at this system and see where we might be able to implement some changes or improvements, know that obviously, you know, DSS clients can potentially benefit, and to the degree that it might relieve some pressure on our other resources, which are sometimes overburdened. We don't have a significant private transportation infrastructure in Ulster County with mm-hmm. a lot of cab companies. Sometimes we arrange for transportation that way, but there can be a wait involved. So that was generally the conversations that Legislature and Erner and I have been having, you know, and I certainly indicated that we would have an interest in participating in these conversations, gathering information, being part of the discussion, and if there were opportunities to do that, that's why I was so eager to attend another legislative committee meeting. I know some of you see me fairly frequently already, but it was, you know, it really just grew out of our conversation, you know, that there's some opportunities here to potentially implement some changes that could certainly, you know, benefit the needs that we see our clients experiencing.
So yes. Now I have questions for Commissioner Iposi, also based off what you said for Director Roser. Did you try taking the bus up there?
Oh, we haven't brought it up there yet. We've been busy with our trainer is actually out. She's been out, so we will have somebody go up there with the bus. Right now on that route, we put a 35-footer on that road. I'm not too sure that we could maneuver that around if the restaurant has, you know, a lot of cars there, but we will definitely try. I know that you called today to see if you could get transportation, and, you know, if you do call, we will try everything in our power to go up and get them. and even to send a smaller bus to fit up into that space.
Okay. Is that the Woodstock bus that goes
up?
It
is the Woodstock bus. And rather than, I know it could be upon request, but what we could also do is have it go up there maybe every second or third swipe around. But to go up there every single trip, it's going to put that bus behind even further than it would be on a normal basis. And we go out to Bel Air with that one. Right now, we still are, we're recruiting drivers, and we have hired a few, but we're still not at full capacity, almost there. But once we are and we are full staffed, I think that it's going to be easier to access some of these routes that everybody wants us to provide for the town.
So maybe a question for Deputy Kelly. Is there any precedent for business or other organization partnership with a transit agency? Because, for example, could there be a little shuttle from the motel and the restaurant that connected down to 28?
I mean, I don't know this county specifically, but if, in our conversations with Tompkins County, they have private funders that fund our transit, like the New Falls Link. So it's not a for-profit business, but certainly private funders. I'd have to think more about the truly for-profit businesses doing it.
Like Ulster County Chamber, have a shuttle bus that that would get people, especially if you get them into the business district.
I
still think you need drivers.
Well, that's the
challenge here. I don't think that
we're not short on money.
We're not saying that we don't want to do it because of funding or whatever else. We need drivers to be able to do it. Like, if we commit right now and say we're going, we're going to run that shuttle, and then we have five drivers out tomorrow, you're not getting that shuttle.
Right.
So it's not the issue of providing the service because of the funding for us right now. It's the issue of not having staff or drivers qualified to drive those buses. Because in order for us to get our funding, we need to follow state and federal regulations. And that means that our drivers all have to be 19A certified. They all have to be drug tested. They all have to have yearly physicals. And if they have medical conditions, have to get recertified every 30, 60, or 90 days. So we have a lot of obstacles that we have to get through. So it's not just like pulling somebody off the road and saying, please drive this bus. So if we're getting to the point where now we're starting to recruit more drivers. We've hired four drivers in the last month. However, they're not fully qualified yet. One is at the CDL training school. The others are now just in the preliminary stages of getting their certification for their, drug and alcohol tested, their medical qualifications, and then also training on older routes. So once we get those four drivers in, we'll be a little bit back on track, and hopefully in the next few months, maybe we can do those shuttles. I'm not going to say a few months. How about 6 months? We can provide those shuttles.
Well, thank you for that. I'm happy about, obviously, we raised the grade of the drivers and dispatchers. Mm-hmm. I was reading from something that Clerk Tierney sent me today that said in Broome County, though, they're still two grades above even what
mm-hmm.
we just raised
yeah.
it to.
Yeah, they're 12s.
But are they pay scale? So
I
a 12
know.
Isn't a 12 everywhere. So you got to look at the actual
civil
pay.
Service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it's like a 12 here is different than a 12 in Dutchess.
Okay.
Per the contract. Contract locally is what defines the pay rates.
Got it.
So,
yeah,
I would look
that's
at that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Back to Commissioner Iposi. So, when, not just in temporary assistance in DSS, but when a client presents, a new client, let's say, is there any standard process by which you assess, for example, whatever their transportation needs might be?
That happens in the conversation that we have with them during their interview. So, particularly with regard to emergency housing. It's an obvious question that they are asked about. It's other programming that they're applying for with economic supports, and transportation is a variable in that conversation, then it's not something that gets addressed. But obviously with emergency housing, it is definitely something that we do ask. And some of our clients, you know, their circumstances can change, and we have to be responsive to that. They may have arrived and be under the impression, you know, that they have a family member or friend that can help to drive them around, and then maybe that falls through. I think it's something we've all experienced, and then they have a need, and then, you know, they will reach back out. But making the arrangements can sometimes take time. And even if we could, upon request, and you guys have been very responsive to the circumstances that we've contacted them about, and you know, we try to line up transportation with the fleet that we have available to us, and we also utilize cab companies. So, and for that one person who needs transportation at that time, that's an important need.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe the DSS fleet?
The DSS fleet is primarily utilized for taking the children and their families who we have care and custody over to supervise visitation, medical appointments, court appearances, and things of that nature. So that's primarily where the resources that we have are allocated to. And case aides are the position who drive around our clients for those purposes. But, you know, we can utilize that fleet when we have circumstances. But I'll be honest with you, it's rarely the case. And again, you know, it's a matter of a limited staff and a limited number of vehicles. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a possibility to explore might be expanding around that. It might be more economical to consider the possibility. You know, we can have conversations with our deputy county executive. We're talking about potential solutions. You know, maybe adding a shuttle somehow that, or a van. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't
like
necessarily
a 16
require
person
the licensing requirements, a case aid position, you know, and maybe have that devoted to the transportation needs we're experiencing in TA could be something to consider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Legislator? No one.
I would say in that regard that I believe Family of Woodstock also does some transportation, and I know that Samadhi Center does transportation, and Samadhi Center has a 24/7 hotline access. So although the focus of Samadhi is, and I should say that I'm the volunteer president of Samadhi, so I'm speaking as a legislator but with the knowledge of that organization, that if that 24/7 hotline is used, then we will try to get people who need transportation who are not experiencing issues with substance use or recovery, we'll try to get them to the appropriate agency or bus service, but we rarely would leave somebody without a service, even if they didn't come to us looking for recovery or substance use services. So we're currently filling in a little bit that way, and it could be that by formalizing the structure as the commissioner is suggesting, that we could get a better coverage with smaller vehicles for at least emergency uses, and perhaps for others, because it might be a better model, as Commissioner Iacocci is suggesting.
And I would also just comment that I know RUPCO in the past for Landmark Place, and they're exploring it for the Quality In project. They're doing their own transportation, and I believe they have access to what Dennis mentioned before, 5310 funding.
Yeah, they get 5310.
Right. So this is a model that I think we can certainly look to replicate, and it fills the need. But and actually talking to Kevin and his team about how they're doing this at Landmark or how they intend to do it at Quality Inn, I think would be informative for us too, because you're dealing with overlap population in some respects, I would think, and what they're driving them to, the services they're trying to get them to, or the places they're trying to get them to, there could be some overlap there too. So I think there's certainly something
there.
There
might be an opportunity for a collaboration. I mean, they might have limitations that would prohibit them using their transportation, even though proximity is close to both Budget 19 and to roadway. But maybe if there was a collaboration and they separated out some of the expenses they would incur, maybe there's an opportunity to do some type of a loop there.
Yeah.
They're already there, and their plans do ultimately plan on providing.
We're going to have 80-something rooms there for
permanent housing.
Permanent housing, but it's still going to be, they're going to need service, shopping, all of the same access that anyone staying at one of the two motels would need. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly a potential there.
Because that is a scary location, and that's why I'd love to. And we're actually putting together a list of emergency housing, so I should probably just send that to you because you would know where it all is. It's not just the doctor's appointments or going to DSS, but what if they're like, oh well, we don't have milk, you know, and to see them walking with a 2-year-old in tow on the side of 28, and I'm terrified to walk on or drive in that traffic circle. Much less, walk with a kid.
Same, all the time.
Walking with shopping carts, carriages,
all of it.
Yeah.
I think the walkway is being contemplated.
Between quality and
quality and that actually an overpass walkway.
Part of
their proposal.
That's going to be expensive.
There's discussions with New York State DOT and the town of Ulster about the safest way to deal with the new influx of pedestrians there, since it's moving from motel to permanent.
Yeah.
It's permanent housing. It's long-term housing. So DOT and the town and are obviously concerned about that part of it and the best way to accomplish it.
Okay.
Because we can't get a big bus down there either.
In close proximity, if you have bird's eye view in terms of a walkway, that could maybe go over the traffic circle or Chandler Drive or the thruway or all of those things. And although it might be expensive over the course of time, if there's permanent housing for 80 units there, it would really make it possible for people to get from there at least to the Kingston Plaza. I think it is part of their plan, at least one of the preliminary plans that I saw.
That'd be a great hub for development for business locally, too.
That's the idea. Once water and sewer gets over there, too. Okay.
Well, thanks for joining us here.
Yeah, thank you. We made it worth your while.
No, absolutely. It's always nice to be part of the conversation and then hear about it after.
Exactly. Did you want to go on to bus shelters, or do you want to call it?
I had one other item, not specifically about bus shelters, but did you want to talk about bus shelters?
No, that's okay. No, that's a work in progress.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, my last big idea for the evening is regional public forums on transportation. So, building off the need that we know exists around the county, the fact that there are areas that have lost bus service over the years, there's areas that are heavily used now and could use optimizing, no doubt, and then other areas that have never had it and are looking to have it. What would the committee think about scheduling over the next, say, 6 months, a series of regional public forums? This would involve, it could be a couple of us from the committee that go, along with the Department of Public Transportation and some other members of the executives team, and then the idea would be we would reach out, we would ask every legislator to reach out to their communities. We would also ask the legislative staff to help with this, of course, talking to municipalities, talking to schools and school districts, talking to the bigger residences in each of the areas, the bigger workplaces, places that people live, places that people need to go, and have a central meeting distributed in 9 to 12 places around the county over the next bunch of months. This is the basic idea.
So I think, it sounds like a good idea. I think that it would be really important to have Director Doyle in planning, and I know we have representation of planning in the executive's office here, but also the transportation planners who do some of that and may have some of that scheduled into the unified public work plan.
And what we would like to do chatting here was that because there is going to be two things going on, a human services coordination plan and then a route study, which we are still scoping currently, it would be, I think, really ideal timing to have public input and engagement sessions that were co-sponsored, getting with the legislature and getting district representation, so that there is that kind of public input into the needs. So I think that's
complementary.
And it's somewhat duplication of what the Ulster County Transportation Council does and has to do under the federal requirements. So we would probably be better off melding it into their process rather than in our process.
Because then it's in the approved document that then can be used
correct.
For funding, and it's really how the gears kind of, you set yourself up for implementation. So.
And maybe the point of collaboration, like in the first instance, is to set the where and the when. If we're engaging in these processes anyways, and that collaborative point can working with you guys to be in your districts, in your regions, in your areas at a time that makes sense. And
this would be for public input?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, all public input. And then
the federal process requires that.
Absolutely.
They have to have public hearings. They have to have 15-day notification prior to implementing a plan. It's all part of what Ulster County Transportation Council does now.
For us, it would be helpful to have you guys actually kind of beat the drums out there to get some people there, especially if we're looking specific to routing and scheduling to get that feedback loop.
Yeah.
If we're going to really look to inform how these things are going to look in the end, that would be helpful for us. And we, obviously do joint advertisement, that type of stuff.
And the back end of that process is there is studies that will take place and funding requirements for those studies that is outside the purview of this committee but is part of the purview of the Transportation Council.
Because I just thought of another group, and that's the food pantries. I've gotten calls from them that the seniors from Milton can't get up to Esopus because they've got a great food pantry there because of the bus system. So,
That's definitely one to that human services coordination plan. There's your other, I really think there may be some very immediate pressing kind of unique needs here that there might be some kind of way to work on. But I think there's, between doing the kind of needs assessment with the departments and then having the plan around routing and scheduling and then having a plan around human services coordination, I think those are the elements that will come
those
together
the big
for
ones,
a longer term and a bigger picture plan and really get into a lot of these different areas of concern. But there might be something that could be done kind of nearer term to kind of deal with some of what we all see and some people experience all the time.
Now, there's among transit advocacy groups, there's Riders of Ulster Transit Alliance. There's somebody here from that group, if I might, they would choose that, say so. And I know Sustainable Hudson Valley had worked with VIA on that grant, but are we aware of other community groups around the county that we should be involving in this?
I mean, I'm in a separate discussion that with the Student Association and SUNY, like New Paltz proper, about how the link is running there that they partially pay for, them and the town, and making sure that's more efficient. So I think I would reach out to, it would be BOCES, it would be SUNY New Paltz, it would be SUNY Ulster, any of your larger educational institutions mm-hmm. that rely on public transit. I think we've engaged with some of the larger employers in the county in terms of, I mean, it is, I would think of any of your manufacturers like Fala, and there's a few others on the Kings Highway that have engaged us. So I do think that if we look at this regionally and we're trying to engage people that would otherwise use the system if it was made more efficient and to their needs, it's larger employers, of course, healthcare industry, tourism industry, mm-hmm. just yeah. in terms of not just access for tourists, but it's also for employees to get there. So your Mohonks, your larger, again, I'm saying larger just because it's an easier reach out. Mm-hmm. So I think they're certainly going to be a party to it, and they've engaged us in the past. So, yeah, I think there's a pretty good audience, at least in three quadrants of the county. Kathy's got the other quadrant.
She's got a third of the county.
She's got a third of the county.
And I've had promises going three UCAD directors back that the town of Denning will get UCAD service one day per month.
One day.
On call. And it hasn't happened yet through no fault of any of those people. But my people in Denning still want their one day a week.
They still want it, I know.
I didn't mention it earlier, but since it comes up, we do have the Z-Loop of UCAT, which is very...
Do they take the shopper's bus at all out there?
Oh, I think the shopper's bus...
It comes one day a week. Let me try to find out.
A month. I mean, but they need to go to Grahamsville, but that's...
Yeah.
So people said it was a problem that you had to go through Sullivan County to get to Grahamsville. I've checked with all three of those prior directors, and I hope the current director will confirm that.
Oh, I didn't mean that.
It was a barrier. It has been brought up as a barrier, but it isn't. I mean, the road goes right on down.
There's one aspect of regional transportation we shouldn't lose sight of, and that's our how we get into Orange County and how those services are actually, just because we go into Orange County, Legislator Earners pointed out to me, and Legislator Ronk, about how they're completely inefficient. They don't line up with any of the times that they're leaving the connecting parts, especially in Orange County. We've had active discussions with Bard College and some of the others. IPARC have interest in developing more regional links so they can get to other transit hubs. MTA, Amtrak, Bard, a lot of their professors, a lot of their students, they really consider they're more part of Kingston than they are of Poughkeepsie, for sure.
We have Bard Housing.
Yeah, we have Bard Housing.
Aren't they running their own bus link already from the
Not a bus link, no.
They're not?
No, they have a van that they use, but it's not to do what they're wanting to do to be part of, like, the Ulster community. It's not there. So we're in discussions with them, and if their footprint grows in Ulster County, then certainly there's more appetite. We have to engage Dutchess County. We don't have permission other than what we currently have, and we have to engage in that discussion with them. But it shouldn't be lost in this overall. We shouldn't just look at it as, county with our imaginary lines that it's not rational. Everyone on the southern end of the county either goes to Poughkeepsie for healthcare or they go to Orange County. That's the reality. And we shouldn't pretend the imaginary lines are the things that prevent us from having a rational transit system.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go, Amanda.
what is the UCTC time frame legislator lists on getting this out? Because we also have funding for study. And I have talked to the county executive about it, and she said rather than come out with, the results of a feasibility study, she'd like it to come out as a real plan. So if we have UCTC doing it, and then there's additional funds to kind of tighten up the routing and everything.
There's $140,000 that exists from the Transportation Council in order to do this full thing.
But there's $500,000, and there's $100,000 was allocated in the capital plan.
$500,000 for
bus shelters and a study.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. The bus shelters I'm thinking of still separately from this overall thing.
Because you would need to look at the routes too, but that funding could be used to create routes, and then of course you'd figure out where to put the shelters.
Yeah. So some of these shelters I know will be replaced in kind because they're not going to move, right?
Yeah.
It would be where any prospective new ones come, or where we think that we have rat inefficiencies that we would push off until we finish the full process.
But would you
process.
Use that funding to do the rat efficiency?
No, Dennis
could
told
it
me, we have 100, UCTC funding will cover everything on the routing and scheduling, and then the capital project, the money that you're talking about was more about design and engineering and selecting a bus shelter, I believe, but I can check the project for you.
So we could kind of use it as part of the route development.
Yeah, and I expect...
Especially if she'd like a plan. So this would be like a real... Yeah.
Yeah. And that study, while it's obviously going to be informed by the operations at UCAD and it'll be part of it, it'll really be done by our transportation planners who have an expertise in doing this.
We're in an hour and a half.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Are you ready, Legislator Erner?
Yeah.
Okay. Second?
Okay.
Thank you.
Aye. Thank you. Aye. Oh, I had to call a vote. I guess we're all just going to sit here until I remember that. All in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank
good
you.
Good way to start the new year.
Yeah.
What Dennis said, the stakeholder meetings, is that what
I
just
post my position and then you went away for a few days?
So I'm still getting through the emails.
Depending
I don't know what you responded with.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that there was a
portion of the plan they're updating.
To get
they have to have public input and they have public input.